Hello, Marion Pallister, Justice and Peace Scotland here. I hope that your lockdown is not proving too burdensome and that you and your loved ones are staying safe. Just before the latest full restrictions were put into force, our parish priest had gone to the trouble of dividing the parish into two teams so that we wouldn't have more than 20 at the Sunday Masses. We're a small parish. And he gave each of us a laminated card with our dates. Mine was highlighted in yellow for the weeks I was to read. And then, of course, came full lockdown with closed churches once again, and I was relieved of the reading responsibilities. Father Ronald, like all priests who are live streaming or recording the Mass, has been multitasking again, all readings down to him. I think that most of our readers in the parish are women, so it was a bit of a surprise to learn in a week or so later that Pope Francis had only now made us legit. In what is called a motu proprio, released on January 11th, Pope Francis established that from now on the ministries of lector and acolyte are to be open to women in what was described as a stable and institutionalised form through a specific mandate. I say surprise. I suppose I should have been aware that the ministries of lector and acolyte, reader and Eucharistic minister to you and me, were not previously formally approved. The fact that they weren't was part of what campaigners like Dr. Mary Cullen, editor of Open House, have sought to change. We may all have been doing the job, and it happens all around the world, but until now we've done it without a proper mandate, only with approval of our bishops, a sort of habit and repute situation. Pope St. Paul VI, back in 1972, may have made reforms, but he decided that only men should access these two particular ministries because they were considered preparatory to entering holy orders. Following the last synods of bishops, however, Pope Francis decided to formalise and institutionalise the presence of women at the altar. He wants these lay ministries to be recognised as fundamentally distinct from the ordained ministry that is received through the sacrament of holy orders. And so the canon that applies to all of this has now been reworded to call us lay persons rather than lay men. Writing to Cardinal Louis Ladaria, prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, Pope Francis has explained that the theological motivation behind his decision to make it okay for me and thousands, possibly millions like me, to read in our parishes. His Holiness said that within the spectrum of renewal traced out by the Second Vatican Council, the urgency is being ever more felt today to rediscover the co-responsibility of all the baptized in the Church and the mission of the laity in a particular way. He added that it is urgent that ministries for men and women be promoted and conferred. It is the Church, made up of baptized men and women, that we must consolidate, promoting forms of ministry and, above all, an awareness of baptismal dignity. If you were hoping or perhaps fearing that priestly ordination of women was also on the agenda in 2021, Pope Francis makes it very clear that this is a step too far. That isn't going to happen on his watch. But in the spirit of his encyclical Fratelli Tutti, he clearly wants to promote the dignity of all. Giving women the possibility of legitimately in canon law being readers or Eucharistic ministers will, he suggests, grow the awareness of, as he says, the precious contribution that many laypersons, including women, have been offering for some time to the life and mission of the Church. I confess I was a bit disappointed in the odd word here and there that still felt like a put-down. Whether we're talking about gender, race or religion, the careless use of an adverb can undermine good intentions. So when Pope Francis is quoted as saying that the decision to confer these offices even on women somewhat detracts from his follow-up, which is that it will make more effective everyone's participation in the work of evangelization. Perhaps that was down to the translation from Italian to English. Let's settle on that rather than peevishly pick over the idea that the whole process is patronizing, that even a woman can manage this. Because let's face it, even in countries where we expect to find a patriarchal society squeezing out women from such roles, there have been female readers and Eucharistic ministers for decades at the behest of local bishops. Indeed, the church in many countries couldn't exist without the female Eucharistic ministers who plug the gaps in countries where priests are few, territory is immense, and the idea of a weekly mass, let alone a daily one, is a pipe dream. In laying out the new rules, Pope Francis mentions the final document of the Synod of the Pan-Amazon region, noting the variety of situations faced by the Church, and says, "It is urgent that ministries for men and women be promoted and conferred." Coming from South America, Pope Francis knows only too well that the laity, male and female, must be relied on to feed the people with the Word and the Eucharist. In many African countries, equally vast territories and insufficient ordained priests create similar situations, but then things are a little like that here on home soil. My own diocese of Argyll in the Isles is geographically challenged because it stretches from Campbelltown in the south, a handful of miles from Ireland, to Stornoway in the north, which for many of the islands, with many of the islands in bygone centuries, had a bishop much nearer in Norway. Today, dwindling numbers of priests means our bishop is faced with shuffling around what big business calls human resources, like some giant game played out not with Louis Tress men, but flesh and blood men stretched to their limits. Common sense says that employing the laity, male and female, not only has to be regularised, as in this latest move, but also expanded. I'd say that this priesthood of the baptised, as Pope Francis calls it, must be mobilised in more ways than I'm qualified to suggest. And although I don't intend this to be a feminist polemic, happy though I am with the progress being made, it has to be said that today's scholars are making it pretty clear that through their research into early Christian documents that from the earliest times women played important roles in the development of the church. Karen L. King, who is Professor of New Testament Studies and the History of Ancient Christianity at Harvard University Divinity School, offers clear evidence of women apostles active in the very earliest work of spreading the Christian message, preaching, teaching, and leading prayer. Sadly, she also has evidence of how quickly in the first centuries of the developing church, women were either airbrushed out of history or officially denied leadership roles they had enjoyed in those first pioneering days before and after the resurrection of our Lord. Fast forward to the early 13th century, and we find Chiara Offreduccio, follower of St. Francis of Assisi, founding what became the Order of St. Clare. Having dedicated much of her life to changing the governing rule, which had been established by a pope, of her order from the Benedictine spirit to one of the newly established Franciscan rule, which was approved by Pope Innocent IV just 2 days before her death, Clare has become known as the first woman to create such a governing rule for a religious order. given that academics such as Professor King are uncovering so much more detail of women's roles in the church, St. Clare of Assisi may really have been the first woman to have governing rules approved. Many more may have been competent to do so before and after, but were thwarted by the hierarchy of the church. And now, today, the responsibility of being a reader, a lecturer, weighs heavy, no denying it. Pope St. Paul VI's document Dei Verbum speaks of hearing the word of God with reverence and proclaiming it with faith. In paragraph 21 of Dei Verbum, it states, "The Church has always venerated the divine scriptures, just as she venerates the body of the Lord, since, especially in the sacred liturgy, she unceasingly receives and offers to the faithful the bread of life from the table both of God's word and of Christ's body." God is present when we read the word. If I were to describe how reading at Mass feels to me, I would have to use the phrase filled with awe in its archaic sense, an overwhelming sense of reverence produced by that which is grand and sublime. I like the words Pope Francis attributes to his decision, co-responsibility, baptismal dignity, mission of the laity. I'm sure those women who are acolytes, Eucharistic ministers, feel the same. Our Scottish Bishops' Conference has very useful and sympathetic guidelines for Eucharistic ministers, and there are a number of recommended publications to help with their training and understanding of the mission, the co-responsibility. That adverb, even, aside, I feel strengthened by Pope Francis's decision and by the overall positive vibes that seem to be aimed at women in his Fratelli Tutti document, despite all the controversy surrounding its title, and in the fact that his worldwide prayer network intention for the month of February is that we pray for women who are victims of violence, that they may be protected by society and have their sufferings considered and heeded. This concern for women, whether it be for our roles in the church or for our well-being in society, makes me feel that there is a gear change, and surely such a gear change within the machinations of the church will have influence across the world. It could be that as a reaction to the oppression of lockdown, I'm having an over-optimistic Pollyanna moment, but let's remember that in his Evangelii Gaudium, he noted, demands that the legitimate rights of women be respected, based on the firm conviction that men and women are equal in dignity, present the Church with profound and challenging questions which cannot be lightly evaded. That apostolic exhortation was written back in 2013. Last year, the full text of Pope Francis's prayer intention for October read, "No one has been baptized as a priest or a bishop. We have all been baptized as lay people. Lay people are protagonists of the church. Today it is especially necessary to create broader opportunities for a more incisive female presence in the church. And we must emphasize the feminine lay presence because women tend to be left aside. We must promote the integration of women, especially where important decisions are made. We pray that by the virtue of baptism, the laity, especially women, may participate more in areas of responsibility in the church without falling into forms of clericalism that diminish the lay charism." Now he has taken that step forward, and my prayer is that the church continues to emphasise the feminine lay presence, and I thank God for Pope Francis's leadership on this important issue. Thank you for listening, and stay safe and well.